truth of it is that you will only give to God out of your, you will only give to God someday out of your wealth what you are willing to give now out of your leanness. That's the way it works. We don't, it's not going to be like someday when you're wealthy, you'll be generous. God's saying we need to be generous with whatever God has blessed us with now. We give because Christ has given us everything. So we want to follow through. We want to be generous in our giving. We want to give what we have, what we don't have. And then here's the question that I want to ask you guys now. So what are we doing with the gifts God has given us? Okay. God has blessed us with all different manner of things, of talents, of abilities, of material goods and possessions. Question is, what are we doing with the gifts that God has given us? How are we using our resources for His kingdom purposes? You know, what are some of the things that we have? We have our cars, we have our homes, we have our jobs, we have our health and the energy, the mental capacity that we have for doing certain kinds of skilled labor to make income. So we have our health, we have our savings, we have our food, we have the beds that we sleep in, we have even the chairs that we sit on in our own residence. So we have all these things from God. The question is, what are we doing with the gifts God has given us? Because they all come from God. Here's the truth from Psalm chapter 24. This is one of those like foundational scriptures. Whenever you talk about money and finances and what they call stewardship, or how do we manage God's resources, we always have to start with a verse like Psalm 24 and verse 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him." One of the best short sermons, and you guys are going to say, "Why don't you preach this one?" Because it's a short one. It says that one of the best short sermons I ever heard on financial giving is that basically they went to Psalm 24 and they said, number one, God owns it all. And number two, God owns me. If you get those two principles down, financial giving and sacrificially blessing so that the kingdom of God can grow, that's going to be no problem for you, because God owns it all and God owns me. So whatever God blesses us with, He's meant for us to be a manager. So in other words, God's the owner, right? God owns it all and God owns me. That means that I'm not God, and that means that I'm not the owner. That if I'm not the owner, then what am I? If God has entrusted me or given me all this stuff, what am I if I'm not the owner? Well, God calls us the manager. So he's entrusted these things. He owns it, but He says, I'm entrusting you to use it, and I want to use you to use the resources that I give you responsibly so that you can advance the kingdom of God. And so whatever God gives to us, He just says, I want you to put it to good use, and I want to use it for my glory. And so now Paul goes on in chapter 9. He's talking to the Corinthians again. He's talking to them about that promise. Remember that promise that you guys made? You were going to be generous. You were going to give sacrificially so that the poor Christians in Jerusalem would be blessed and they'd be okay. Well, let's talk about that some more. So Paul says, there's no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help. And by the way, that's where giving starts. It starts with an attitude. It starts with an eagerness to help. Say, I want to join God. I want to go on mission with God. I want to help advance the kingdom of God. I don't want to just take up space on this planet. I want to make this world a better place by advancing the kingdom of God. So he says, I know your eagerness to help. I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians. I've been telling them that since last year, you in Achaia, or you in southern Greece, you were ready to give. And your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. So when I was just telling you about the generosity of these Macedonian churches up here, one of the reasons they were being so generous is because they heard about your eagerness to give. They heard about you, that you in the southern Greece, you got off to a great start with this financial gift so that we could make this great collection and send it to these poor churches in Jerusalem. So they heard about you, they heard about your example, and they gave sacrificially. So guess what? Along with this letter comes Titus. And along with Titus, I'm going to send a couple other guys with Titus, respected leaders in the churches. And when I send these guys to you, they are going to help you prepare. They're going to help you get ready for this generous gift that you promised a while back. So Paul and Titus, you know, they're just brimming with excitement. They are bursting. They're thinking about the financial blessing that the Gentile churches are going to provide. They can't wait to see the look, because I don't know if Titus is going to travel with Paul or not, but Paul has this traveling team of people to guard, you know, the treasure that they're collecting, and Christian leaders from all these different churches in the Gentile. They're all going to join Paul. They're going to get on a ship, and they're going to sail for Israel. And they're going to get off at Caesarea, and they're going to march it up to Jerusalem. And Paul's basically saying, I can't wait. I can't wait to see the faces of my Jewish background believer brothers and sisters. I can't wait to see their faces when they see this offering and they say, this is amazing. This is so generous. This is so needed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Where did this come from? And they're going to say, oh, guess what? It came from the Gentile churches that are over there in Greece and in other places, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who wanted to help you out and wanted you to show that under the banner of Jesus, it doesn't really matter if you're Jewish by background or if you're Gentile. Well, what only matters is your faith in Jesus Christ. And it says, when they see that offering and they hear about who it came from, they're going to burst out with joyful praise God and thanksgiving to God. And not only are they going to do that, they're going to pray for you. They're going to say, God bless those people who gave to us. And so Paul is ready to continue on that. He says, there's going to be a genuine response from the Macedonian believers. Titus is taking this letter. He says, remember who we're helping out. We're helping out these poor, needy believers that are over there in Jerusalem. God has always had a heart for the poor. 2,000 years ago, you see, God had a heart for the poor. 2,000 years ago, when the church was beginning, you know, Paul was just a brand new apostle. Peter was an apostle. Peter was there since the beginning. 5 years, 6 years, 7 years later, here comes the apostle Paul, whom Jesus Christ said, I want you to be my ambassador to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish people. And so Paul, Peter's there and Paul's there, and Peter says, okay, God called me to go be a minister to the Jewish people. God caused you to go minister to the Gentiles. But to whoever God calls us, it doesn't matter. What matters is that whatever we do in our gospel preaching, we need to remember the poor. And that's what, and Paul said, that's what I was all about. I was all about remembering the poor. And Paul's making good on that promise by now collecting this offering and bringing it back to Jerusalem. So God has always cared about the poor. 2,000 years later, God still hasn't changed his heart. It's still beating for the poor and the wounded, the lost. God's heart still beats for the orphan and the widow today. And whatever we can do in our ministries to help them is what we want to do and be like the hands and feet of Jesus. So it was just for those believers there in Corinth. It was still a privilege and a blessing to step up and participate with God in the work that he was doing. So Paul encourages them now, and he goes to verses 6, 7, and 8. And he says, I want to remind you of a spiritual principle. I want to remind you, the spiritual principle is called the law of sowing and reaping. And he says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly, so he's using an agricultural term, he's talking about farmers. I don't know any farmer that ever walked out into a 1 acre field or a 5 acre field and he brings a little handful of grain. And he says, oh, this ought to be enough. This ought to be enough to spread around and plant. That ought to bring us a huge harvest. And Paul's saying, are you kidding me? Whoever sows sparingly, they're only going to reap sparingly. You plant that little, you're only going to harvest a little. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. My wife and I were in shock one time, the first time we were up there. You know, our son Tyler, I told you about Tyler, he's in the ministry. He's a youth pastor up at Bayside Church in Granite Bay in the Roseville area. And we go to a Sunday night service, you know, Lincoln Brewster leading, so it's going to be, you know, 100 decibels, bring your earplugs, because he's going to blow the doors off the place. We go in there, and the worship is rocking and the whole thing, and they get right before the time of preaching, and he says, and now, folks, we're going to have our offering to God. And everybody just starts clapping and going, woo, yeah, it's our time to be able to give an offering to God. This is great. And these people were looking around like, wow, what is the deal? And, of course, it reminded me, it says, for God loves a cheerful giver. And these guys had been taught that, and they were trying to put it into practice. So they just made this, maybe even over a top, you know, melodramatic expression of saying, hey, we get to give to God, yeah. So it says, God loves a cheerful giver, not giving reluctantly, not giving grudgingly, but giving to God because you know what God is going to do. God's going to take these gifts, and he's going to multiply them. He's going to advance his kingdom. And I'm going to tell you about what God is doing in our ministry in just a minute. But look what it says in verse 8. Because once we do that, once we decide, okay, God, I'm going to give to you, I'm going to give to your church, I'm going to give to your causes. And it says, and God, when we do that, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So God says, you are blessed by God to be a blessing for other people. That principle goes all the way back to Abraham. God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he says, go to the land that I will show you. And Abraham did. And God says, I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. And it says, in you and in your descendants, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we read about Abraham's life in the book of Genesis, in the first book of the Bible. We say, wow, God blessed this guy amazing in amazing ways. But God never blessed Abraham as a dead end. God never blessed Abraham as an end point in itself. God blessed Abraham so that he and Sarah, his wife, and their kids and their grandkids and all their descendants, so that those people would be able to bless the rest of the world. They were always blessed in order to be a blessing to other people. Now, many of you know this already about Sebastopol Christian Church, that in our annual budget, we budget about 17-18% of whatever the offerings are, they're going to go to local and global mission causes. Some of you guys were here in the last number of months, and you saw Pastor Che, and maybe you were like me, and when he preached, you were praying for the gift of interpretation, and you were trying to say, Lord, help me understand what this man's saying, because he's a Christian hero, and he's been preaching the gospel for 60 years in Korea. So we heard about what God is doing in the Korean gospel mission. Gary and Patty LaDon, they came back from Zimbabwe, and they reported what God is doing in the Chittamoyo Mission Hospital there in Zimbabwe. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had Brian and Lena Welch from International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. That's a mouthful. I'll just call it IFES for short. But anyway, that ministry to the 10 countries in the former Soviet Union, working among students, evangelizing, sharing the gospel. So we heard about all those things that God is doing. And then right here in Santa Rosa, a local, we had this lady come up, and she was with Bridges, Crisis Pregnancy Care Clinic. And many of you took those little baby bottles and you filled them with coins and you turned them into the coins to help support their ministry. So we've heard about all these things that God is doing. I want to share one other thing that God is doing, something I didn't even know about until about 2 weeks ago. So it's Tuesday morning. And I don't know if you know this, but there are a number of ladies that gather here at the church, a number of our what I'd call our seasoned Christian ladies who gather here. They call it the Tuesday morning women's Bible study. It's a women's life group. And I walked by and I was greeting them and saying hi to them because I'm in the office. And I looked over and there was a plate there. And on the plate, it had a few bills. It had a few, you know, dollar and $5 bills and stuff. And I go, huh, so you guys take an offering here every week. And I was just curious to say, okay, well why? You know, what do you do with the money? And they said, and Virginia, of course, is the leader of the Tuesday Women's Bible Study. Hey, Virginia. Everybody say hi to Virginia. She's like, what is he going to say? I'm not greeting you until you know what I'm saying, right? So, but this is actually really good because I said, so you guys have this weekly offering. What do you do with the money? And she says, oh, well, Jim, we do five things. We support five different kind of ministries with the money. Number one, we collect and give food to the Interfaith Pantry, Interfaith Food Pantry. And I'm like, great. Number two, we collect money for baby formula for Kathy McCarty and her Zimbabwe hospital there in Chittamoyo. Baby formula to send to them. Number three, we support in Korea for the Korea Gospel Mission that also has an orphanage there. We support one of the orphan girls named Min, and we do our monthly support for her so that there she's taken care of and she's provided for at the Korean Gospel Mission. Number four, back in Zimbabwe in Africa, we support one of those itinerant pastors that rides around and he's got this name, it begins with an M, and it's so hard to pronounce, and there's so many syllables, we just call him Eminem. You know? So Eminem, we support him and the ministry that he does, and hopefully he got one of those motorcycles that was brought in, and he's traveling around sharing the good news of Christ in the churches there in that area of Zimbabwe. So we do that, and then, oh, and by the way, we also support any of our group members who have any financial needs. And I was just like, wow, this is a group of about 18 to 25 women, and they're doing all that. These Christian ladies are an inspiration to us all. God bless them. Thank you for doing that. So you say, God loves a cheerful giver. We decide what in our hearts we're going to give. We need to excel in all things, including excelling in this grace of giving. And now look at what God's word promises. Because there's promises that God says. You want to give to God generously? You're going to sacrifice to advance the kingdom of God? God has some promises for you. It's like a boomerang effect. It's a boomerang of blessing that's coming your way. It says in verse 10, Now God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, he will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You get that, you know, that whole metaphor of the agriculture. But the idea is God is the one who supplies seed to you in the first place. So we get our, whatever our blessings are from God, we get that. We're not the owners, we're the managers. We give to God financially, and God increases that. And so God, he says he will, when you do that, he will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So the idea is we're giving sacrificially to God, and he's giving back to us. And he's not giving back to us so it can be a dead end and now we can get rich. I think that's the fallacy. That's one of the terrible the doctrines that are going around places in America, usually only in prosperous places in the world, that health and wealth gospel that basically says, look, you give to God and God is going to bless you. You give to God, you sow this money like it's seed money into the ministry, and then God is going to bring back a major financial blessing on you so that now you'll get rich, so that somehow you'll get rich through your financial giving to God. That is not what the gospel is teaching. The Bible does talk about God blessing us when we give, but God never says, I want you to give so that I'll give back more to you in blessing so that you can now be rich and just hoard it, right? No, the cycle of the blessing is to be continual. God blesses us. He increases our seed to the sower so that we can sow the seed, so it brings back a harvest of righteousness, so that then the God of the resupply, he brings back that blessing to us so that we can continually be a blessing to other people. So it's just this continual cycle of God blessing us and us being able to bless other people, and then God blessing us more so we can bless more people all the time. That's what is happening here. So he's giving us his resources, and he blesses us for our generous giving. It's like the old preacher said. I heard this one time too. He says, you know, and I think he was from Kentucky because he had a twang. He was like a broken radio. It had a twang in it. So he said, you know what? You can't outgive God. Because God's got a bigger wallet, right? You can't outgive God. He's got a bigger wallet. When we give, God resupplies us so that we can continually be a blessing to other people. We're blessed so that we can be a blessing to other people. Finally, Paul finishes off the chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And he says this one verse. And he says, you know, when I think about this whole ministry of giving and receiving, this whole ministry of whoever sows or whoever plants generously, that person is going to harvest generously. When we start being obedient to God and giving to God and seeing the kingdom of God advance and seeing people benefit, like those poor Jerusalem church people, and they're not only benefiting now financially, they're having their needs, their physical needs met, but they're now offering up prayers of thanksgiving to God, and they're asking God to bless whoever was generous to them so that their need would be supplied. And he said when Paul thinks about that whole process of giving and receiving and bless so that we can be a blessing to other people, he just says, Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And of course, the indescribable gift, it's not just the process of giving and receiving, that it's the indescribable gift is Jesus Christ himself. I'm going to skip that part right there, and I'm going to go right to this. You know, I'm a father, and I'm also a grandfather. And so I have two kids, and I'm not planning on having any more. And I have two grandkids, and I'm not planning on having any less. You know, I want to have more grandkids in the future by God's grace, and it, you know, his will be done. So being a father and a grandfather and being a follower of Christ, you can ask me for a number of things. You can ask me to help you with money that I might have. You can ask me for the use of my possessions, like borrowing my car or something like that. You can ask me to give you some of my time, because time is a valuable commodity. And I'll do the very best I can to try and help you. But if you were to come up to me and ask for me to give up one of my children or one of my grandchildren, I would say to you immediately, I'd say, you know, no way. No way I'm giving up that. And yet God, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he so loved you and me, that he gave his one and only son. It says that God, who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will not God also be able to give us all things? Romans chapter 8. So God is the giver. He's the ultimate giver. And he says, you want to be like me? You want to be like my son Jesus? Jesus was rich, yet he made himself poor so that we through his poverty might become rich. Jesus invested, sacrificed, gave his life for the benefit of other people. And that's what he's calling us to do. And so this is it's an amazing thing. Who gives like that? Who gives like that? Only God. William Barclay writes in this last verse of 2 Corinthians 9, he writes, Paul ends this chapter by turning our thoughts to the wonder of the love of God in Jesus Christ, a gift whose wonder can never be exhausted and whose story can never be fully told. And in so doing, he says to us, can we who have been so generously treated by God, can we be anything else but generous? We've got our three action points for today. If you have your bulletin or your program, it's on page one. It's right there in the bottom. There's only three words that I'd ask you guys to fill in. You know, action points. When we say action points, these are like our takeaways. These are like, okay, Jim, you talked to me for a while. What do you want me to do? Because Jesus said, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them, right? That's how we grow. We put them into practice. And so the first one is, that is just the understanding, is that your spiritual growth and your development, your spiritual maturity, growing up in Christ, that includes financial giving. And there's other ways that you grow up spiritually as well, but it's not just to talk about financial giving. We are to we're not just to practice it a little bit. Paul says we are to excel in this grace of giving. So it includes financial giving, our spiritual growth and development. Number two, we give because it advances the kingdom of God. It funds our church. It funds the ministries that goes on here. It propels, our giving propels our mission enterprises. It meets people's needs. Our giving demonstrates in a real tangible way the love of Jesus. So Jesus says, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. And then finally, we give generously because Christ gave us everything. Christ gave us everything. Jesus impoverished himself to make us all rich. And of course, his riches, his grace, his forgiveness, that's available to any one of us today. You know, the reality spiritually, what the Bible teaches is that you and I have this incredible debt of sin and makes our spiritual account about millions of dollars in the red, in the negative. And yet when Jesus came and when he went to the cross at Calvary, Jesus completely wiped out that debt. You know, when he said tetelestai, when he said it is finished, when he died on the cross, that was an economic term in that day. It means paid in full. All the guilt, all the punishment, all of the separation from God that comes from our sin, that was all paid for when Jesus died on Calvary. It was all paid in full. And then in his resurrection, so that spiritual debt of sin that we had to God, Jesus wiped it out. And not only that, he says, if you put your trust in me, he says, Jesus has millions of dollars of his righteousness that he says, I'm going to deposit that into your account if you put your trust in me. So I don't know if you've done that yet in your life. The question for you today then would be, have you accepted the gift that Christ is offering you? Will you let Jesus pay your debt of sin to God? Will you trust in him and follow him so that you can have that massive deposit of his righteousness in your life? If you do, you can join all the other Christ followers all around the world in all generations who can look up to God in amazing grace and say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you for your amazing grace and how much you have given to us. And Lord, today, in response to your call to follow you, we say yes to Jesus. We say yes to accepting this indescribable gift of forgiveness for all of my sins. Lord, help me now. Help me now as I take a step forward spiritually, as I learn what it means to follow you. Help me now to follow you in these daily steps of growing trust and growing faith. And Lord, for all of us, if we've been following you for 60 years, Lord, help us to continue to grow so that we can excel also in this grace of giving. Help us to experience this, what you call the spiritual law of sowing and reaping and the blessings that you promise whenever we are generous givers. Lord, show us the truth according to your word. We love you and we bless you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Mike and the worship team to come up and lead us in a final song, and I'm going to ask you guys to stand, and we'll be ready to sing together. Just want to remind you, next week, of course, you know, this is interesting, a progression when you go chapter by chapter through a book of the Bible. Next week, right after 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, guess what? It's 2 Corinthians 10. And 2 Corinthians 10 talks about strongholds in our lives. Talks about things that are holding us back and keeping us down and hindering us and crippling us in our growth as followers of Jesus. And we're going to talk about how do we tear down strongholds. That's going to be coming up next week. Let's sing together. Mike?
Amen. Well, we're going to sing. We're going to go out singing a couple of the chorus a couple of times of Your Grace is Enough. It's all about God's grace. That's where it all begins and where we find ourselves at. Amen. Amen. Let's do it. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough.
So we need to go out and have a grace-filled week. Go out and be a blessing to somebody this week. God bless you. Have a great one.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Oh,
Have you been waiting? Seems I never really heard you before. I've kind of let the place go. Ashamed at what you find, but you can make yourself at home if you're sure that you don't. When I cry, roof leaves. When the wind blows, the walls are weak. But a house is known by the company it keeps. And I feel better now that you're near. And I want to. From now on, you're always welcome here. There are dark rooms deep inside me where light has never shone, and I try to hide inside them. Guess you've always known. One day you would call me, and I'd awaken from my sleep. You take me just the way I am, and you promise me you'd keep me. 'Cause when I cry,